From the front line.
It's not going to work, man.
From the tailgate. Representing KGYR and its stakeholders. We are the forum for the fans. The Bleed Blue Show. Flying solo, here's your host, Steve.
Yeah, we are the Forum for the Fans, the Bleed Blue Show. This is the Ring Podcast with Ranger Pride. We're getting right off the NHL All-Star break. The Rangers don't play until Friday. We already talked about the back-to-back games upcoming in Detroit. But nonetheless, let's bring on RP. Of course, Ranger Proud on Facebook, Twitter. Of course, writer for Elite Sports New York, RP. What's your thoughts, man? Did you like, dislike the NHL All-Star game? How's everything, man? Are you in competitions and all that other stuff?
Hey, Steve, how's it going? I love the skills competition. Everything's going good, you know. I'm ready for some Ranger hockey. These breaks are just a little ridiculous. Can't wait to Friday night for some action here. But
I hear you.
It was a weird. This whole year was a weird schedule. But what are you gonna do? But what you asking about the All-Star game? I enjoyed the skills competition. I liked how they try to do different things with shooting from the platform. That shooting challenge at the end, I thought was really interesting. It was fun. Kept everyone's attention. And then, unfortunately, they played the game, which I just despise. I don't know. I've watched bits and pieces of three different All-Star games this year between the NHL, the KHL, and the AHL, and they all did this 3-on-3, and I don't know. I don't see what the purpose of it is. Either way, they're scoring a lot of goals. Either way, you're not playing any defense. And I think with the 3-on-3, you get less defensemen selected. It's just not hockey. But the league seems to like it. They've done it now 5 seasons in a row. And I know, I mean, at least on Twitter, a lot of fans didn't enjoy it, at least from what I was reading. They all had the same view. It's just, I mean, yes, we all know the All-Star games are not a regular game. I mean, look at the NBA's All-Star game, look at the Pro Bowl. But at least in those formats, they're playing a regular game, or they're attempting to play a regular game. I mean, baseball's the exception, because when there's no contact, physical contact between the players and all, they can play a pretty much regular game. But in our sport, I think the NHL needs to go back to 5-on-5. I really liked it when they used to do that draft. Remember, Steven used to do the draft? Get the 2 captains and they would pick like we used to do in the schoolyards. I mean, they can even do that at the skills competition. I mean, they can make it really interesting. They can add a lot of hype to it and make it more enjoyable. But this 3-on-3 format, and, you know, I've written about it and I've spoken about it endlessly, it's just not fun. It's not hockey. It's not even pond hockey. It's just, I don't know. The 3-on-3 just looks a little boring. Until you get to the championship game when the players know they're playing for $1 million. And, of course, it gets a little bit more interesting for them. But from a fan standpoint, I wasn't impressed with it at all again this season.
Oh, man. RP, I did not see the actual All-Star game, but I did see some of the skills competition. The one where Patrick Kane did ended up winning. I'm glad I actually did catch that. I'm actually glad that I caught that.
It was
that.
Fun.
I'm glad I
– Yeah.
Yeah, it was fun. It was different.
The whole skills competition was interesting, you know.
I mean, just the fact that they were, you know, being introduced, going through the crowd, going up the stairs, going up to the platform. It was different, something I'd never seen. And it took skills because I wanted to see how that was going to be played out. I'm glad I caught that Saturday night that I did. But as far as All-Star games in particular, it doesn't even matter the sport. I mean, I always thought in particular, RP, across the major sports, at one point, the baseball was the best to me, the most, because it was the most competition. This is before all the home field advantages crap, but I see that the Pacific Division won ended up winning it. So I would have to go back and watch the video. I mean, it seems like it was a lot of scoring. That's not my kind of game anyway, so I'm not really mad or stressed that I did not see that. But kudos to all the other competitions as well, because I saw that was good with David Perron early on in that first round, and I saw Patrick Kane later on with the skills competition as well. He had that with the 2 tiebreakers as well. That was really fun to watch. It was really unique. It was kind of like like Buffalo Wild Wings. It was like they were shooting from all over the arena in the stands. So
yeah.
I'm glad that nobody got hurt, because that's one thing. If somebody misfires on the shot, you know, I don't want the puck going sideways or anything like that. But these are professional shooters anyway, so you never know what a mistake could happen. Shea Weber with the hardest shot competition, I think he broke the record, because for years, remember, Al McGinnis, when he was up there in his age, I mean, he was still firing away, and he did very well on his competition. I love his shot. But you were about to say something. Go ahead.
Al McGinnis was actually at the All-Star game and still hit 100 miles an hour on this one. They had him
How
do a guest
that
shot.
Guy?
Oh, man.
50 what? How old is he? 50s? He's got to be.
I don't know. He's
got to
be. Yeah, he's got to be up there in his 50s, late 40s. But, man, he still never hit the gun over 100 miles an hour, which was – they were going crazy when they did
Unbelievable.
It. Let me tell you, St. Louis did a really good job with the All-Star game. They brought a lot of, you know, Brett Hull. They brought a lot of stars back. Wayne Gretzky was there. And they did – I thought they did a great job with what they had, especially doing the skills. I thought the girls 3-on-3 was – really good and competitive. It wasn't like an act. It wasn't just a sideshow. Those girls skated their hearts out, and they deserve to be there. And the NHL is trying to get some sort of a partnership with women's hockey going, which would be great, because they play a good game, an enjoyable game to watch.
Yeah.
So they did everything right on Friday night, and then they did, you know, I don't want to say they did everything wrong on Saturday night. The players dealt with what they had to deal with, but just – they got to fix it. They got to fix it, or maybe they should just name an all-star team, first team, second team, and not play the game, because I just don't see the enjoyment in it. It's just not what the game is supposed to be. You know, even with the Pro Bowl, who cares if they score those points? They're playing football. It's fun. Yes, there's no hitting, but the tradition of the football game itself is still intact. The same thing with basketball. Hockey's gone away from it, and I don't get it, because either way, a lot of goals are being scored. Just instead of one game, a lot of goals are being scored in four mini games. And it also takes away from the goaltending. I mean, the goalies are hung out to dry on most of these plays. And I think I think back to 94 when Mike Richter won the MVP and he was stonewalling everybody. You don't get that in this format. It's heavily against the goaltenders. So just my view on it. Some people like it. I know a lot of people don't. I'm glad it's over.
Right. Two more things, and we'll move on. I mean, Barzell and the speed skating competition. I did catch that a little bit of that when I was in and out of the viewing of these competitions. Of course, he would win it. That's no surprise for the most part. There's a lot of fast skaters, but he's definitely one of them. He's blazing when it comes to the speed. My only thing I would object as far as the All-Star festivities itself. If you're watching it on TV and you're really trying to get something out of the actual All-Star game, then yeah, we're on the same page, RP. I agree, man. I mean, it's not a favorable product. When you're, you know, guys like us, we want competition. You're not going to get that in All-Star games, and it doesn't matter what sport. It may be the baseball at one point, you'll get that because of the nature of how that is played, but hockey, football, all that other stuff. You're right, man. It's not about that. But I will say this. I mean, I really believe, and it kind of goes to because I went to the Pro Bowl for the weekend down in Florida this past weekend. So if you're into just the fan-driven thing, if you want the interaction of the fans itself, that to me is somewhat worth it. So if you're a fan who actually went to St. Louis for the actual weekend and went to the fan events around St. Louis, I think next year is going to be in Anaheim, or is it Florida? I can't remember. No, next year
Florida.
Is in Florida,
it's
right?
Florida.
See, I might book a trip to Florida, man, because you know you're going to get good weather. I mean, you're going to have things. NHL is going to have things to do all around BB&T Center out there in Sunrise, Florida. My whole point is, if you're into that aspect of the fans, interacting with the fans and interacting with the players, former players, to me, the things you don't see on TV, it is worth it. It definitely is. So that's the only thing I would say. You know what? If you're a fan out there, NHL fan, check it out as far as things around the event, because it is it's different because it's not really about you stressing about your team. It really is a good time. The weekends itself. So I wish I would have the chance to get to St. Louis, man, because you know the barbecue in downtown St. Louis. That would have been. I wish I'd have thought about it early on, but South Florida next year. I think RP and me, we have to make a trip out there. We have to check that out, man. You can't beat the sun, man. It should be 60s, 70s in Miami. You already know the Super Bowl is down there, and then next year they got Super Bowl in Tampa Bay. So they're bringing a lot of these all-star festivities, NHL, NFL, stuff like that. The only thing I could think of, RP, because the Rangers don't play Friday until Friday, and we talked about the back-to-backs versus the Red Wings, in which those are 4 points, man. You cannot leave no points on the table versus the Red Wings, especially after a long layoff, and that kind of scares me because you might be rusty. I'm seeing that some of these teams are right away back into action. But more about the trade deadline. I mean, I haven't really been paying attention to the rumor mill, whatever you want to call it. I mean, is this thing with Kreider going to get done or what, man? Because you got the deadline in like 3 weeks.
Your guess is as good as mine. I tell you what, I don't know if him making the All-Star game raises his value. Maybe
I got you.
The Rangers are leaning more towards signing him. I don't know. His name has been mentioned everywhere. Boston, St. Louis, Colorado, Toronto, Philadelphia, Pittsburgh. His name is mentioned everywhere. He's, I think, on TSN's trade bait list. He was the top player available. Gorgiev was like the fifth player available. The problem with the Rangers, it's all about the math. It really is. If you keep Kreider, what would he want? What is he looking for salary? If you sign Gorgiev now, then what happens at the end of next year when there's so many more players that'll be unrestricted free agents and want big money? How are you going to sign all these guys then? So it's not just about now, but it's about the next 2 or 3 seasons, which is what the problem is. It seems to me, aside from the Kreider situation, because he's an unrestricted free agent, so a decision has to be made, they could wait out on Gorgiev. They don't have to trade him now. His value is high. Teams are looking for goalies, but the rumor mill, from what I've read from Bob McKenzie and Pierre LeBrun and Elliot Friedman, is the Rangers are asking for a lot because they know the value of Gorgiev right now is so high based on his play and based on what other teams need to make a playoff run, pretty much like Kreider. You'll hear so many rumors and you don't know what's true and what's not. So it's a real big wait and see game. The Rangers have a real tough month of February. So on the ice, it's going to be very difficult, and off the ice, it's going to be very difficult. It's going to be a real busy month. The Rangers play, I think it's 15 games in 29 days in February. They have 3 sets of back-to-back games. They only have consecutive days off twice in the whole month. A real busy time, not a lot of practice time. They haven't made a decision on the 3-goalie situation. You know, are they going to bring Shesterkin back up? Are they going to keep him down? There's a lot of questions with not a lot of answers right now. It's really going to be a waiting game, a demand game. You know, do the Rangers get a great offer for Chris Kreider? Does JD and Gorton offer Chris Kreider something that he's willing to stay and sign on? It's really a crazy situation. It's the 30 in a row that we're going through down to the wire kind of trade deadline. But this year, the problem with this season, as opposed to the last 2 seasons, is the last 2 seasons, you knew we were sellers. You knew we were selling everything because they knocked the house down and rebuilt it. This year, are you a seller? Are you trying to make it for the playoff run? You're on the bubble. They're 11 points out. As of last night, I looked at the standings tonight. As of last night, they were 11 points out of the playoff wild card spot number 2. They had 3 or 4 teams they got to try to leapfrog to get there. It's going to be really hard to make the playoffs. We don't know what the internal thinking of the organization is. You know, we can all say, oh, they can't make the playoffs, or oh, they can't, but those guys have to sort of now decide, are we gunning for it or not? Is it more advantageous to keep your team whole and keep improving on draft picks and some roster players? Or do you go for a playoff run and see what happens out of it? It's a real tough call.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I mean, these are things we discussed. It really is. For the right price, I'm a pro Kreider guy. I love Chris Kreider. If we fit him into our salary cap plans, of course you keep him. But if you can't, it's kind of have to deal similar to what you did with Zuccarello and Kevin Hayes and guys before that. So I really don't know. It's kind of like we'll see what happens with this organization. But here's the question, because we always talk about rebuild, and I hate to go down that road. But if you sell Kreider, is this is more validation of a rebuild?
No, not if you just move Kreider. I think if the Rangers were a first place team, a playoff contending team, having Chris Kreider, knowing he's an unrestricted free agent, knowing what some other players out there were starting for, I think they're in the same spot. I think because they're in the end of the rebuilding, if you want to say, and now you're talking about Kreider, people are using that term a little bit more loosely than it should be. I don't think if you keep Kreider or not, I don't think it affects the rebuild or where they're at now. Kreider could be a huge asset for years down the road if, again, he stays consistent. Now, let's remember, in the beginning of the season, he really struggled. Then he got really hot, December and January, and maybe the end of November. But that's that up and down. Now, when Kreider comes back with all the trade pressure and the trade rumors, does that affect his play? Does it make him play better? It's a tough thing. The last thing we want now is for Kreider to get into his slump or his non-productive period like he's had previously, because there's just too many games to play to be in a slump. They already have enough players slumping. If you look at Buchnevich, if you look at Kako, if you look at Ryan Strome right now, and it's expected that these guys who have been playing pretty well or decent are really slumping. I mean, Buchnevich only scored 2 goals in 25 games. He's just totally underachieved after he signed the contract. His name has been brought up in trade rumors now. So it's a tough time for a guy like Kreider to hit a slump, but it's also going to be hard for him to focus because there's a good chance he does get traded. I mean, one of two things is going to happen between now and February 24th. He's either going to re-sign on an extension or he's going to be playing in another sweater on February 25th.
Yeah, I mean, you're right. Pretty much that is the situation. That's the scenario. It's a wait-and-see game. And I think a lot of that decision with the upper management is going to make that decision based on how we come off the gate, especially starting with Detroit, and then you got the homestand next week. And we'll definitely get into a lot of that once our next week's episode when we actually have some games under the belt and see how they come. Because I really am worried about this part, RP. I said this a little bit last week. Coming off a long break like this, I've seen pictures of some Rangers on vacation and really, really chilling like it's the y'all season. Don't get me wrong. You are obligated to do what you need to do. But if we don't get off to a good start coming off this break, it's definitely selling season. However, it's the obvious. If we could string a few wins in a row, in which I said I think we have that in us, we are due for it because we haven't had that this season. Columbus has been on a nice winning streak. That is the reason why they are at the top of the wild card standings right now in the East. I think we could play with Columbus. I think we've shown we could play with Columbus. We've had Columbus beat. We should have beat them one of the last two losses before the All-Star break. I know we could play with Carolina. Carolina is the other wild card team in this thing, and I've seen us play against Carolina over the last season, two seasons. They're definitely beatable. They're more offense than defense. They play a style of hockey that we could play against them because they're not as physical. They're about scoring. What I do like about our season this year, RP, versus last year, the point where we're at, because we brought the scoring to the table, because we have Panarin in the lineup, he's the equalizer to all that. Because as you already know, RP, the goal differential at this point last year was disgusting. We were like minus 29. It was something hideous, man. We could have scored. We could have stopped nobody. At least this season, we could say at least we're scoring a little bit more. And thanks a lot to Panarin, thanks a lot to the defensemen who, top two, top three as far as total defensemen as a unit in the league in scoring. That has kept us somewhat, I'm from the outside looking in. So I am optimistic. A lot of these teams that are in front of us, and I don't want to sound like a homer, but I think if we can string some wins together, and we have a homestand, man. I mean, you go to Detroit on Saturday, but everything else after that is home. I mean, why not string a couple of wins at home? The Rangers have been three games over 500 at home this year. Why not?
You're 100% right. Look, they have Montreal, Buffalo, Toronto, and Philadelphia ahead of them before the Blue Jackets and Carolina, who own the two wild card spots. Now, Montreal and Buffalo are only 1 point ahead of us. Very easy to get. But Toronto's 8 points ahead of us. Philadelphia's 10 points ahead of us. It's five wins. It's a lot. Fans have to understand, it's a lot. Never mind, we're going to have to put a 4 or 5-game winning streak together, which they haven't done all season. Toronto and Philadelphia have to start losing games, and Carolina. And you were talking about Carolina's offense. They're a plus 27 on the year.
Right. They score.
That's a lot. The Rangers are a minus one. Much better than it was last season. But
it's progress.
Even with Panarin and with Strom and with Zibanejad, you want to know something? Carolina's scoring a lot of goals. Only have 18 losses on the season. I mean, they're having a great year. They're 29-18. They're having a great season. So I don't know if Columbus is overachieving right now, but I tell you what, Tortorella's got that team playing on a mission right now, proving to the world that they need Panarin and Bobrovsky. I mean, they're on a mission. They're just playing. They have 62 points, and they're 1 point out of third place to knock the Islanders out. They're only 5 points behind Philadelphia, behind Pittsburgh.
When did he get that fine? Remember, he had that $25,000 or $50,000 fine? Yeah. Was it before?
Fine
it has to be before.
On the referee about a month, 6 weeks ago, he got that fine. That's when he was yelling at when his goalie got hurt. When they messed up the clock. Right. That was about a month ago.
Yeah, I mean, they played well since then, is my point. I mean, including the win streak there also.
They played really well. Yeah, they played really well since then. But they're just on a mission. I mean, they're just playing really good hockey right now. You couldn't ask any more from that team. I mean, it's the truth. They're playing. He has them on all cylinders. He has them. That entire team buys into his system. He seems to have mellowed out a little bit. Maybe a little bit like what a Tom Coughlin did when he was with the Giants after the first year. And it's just right now it's working for him again. And I think I don't see them not making the playoffs. I got to tell you. And if that's the case, then everyone's battling for the wild card number two spot. The month of February is really going to dictate which way this is going. And not just because of what happens on the ice. It just happens to be that the trade deadline is the end of the month too. So there's a lot going on, especially all at one time. And I just think, like you said, you want them to have that quick start. They got a tough home and home with Detroit. But let's remember one thing, too. The goalie situation is a whole other fiasco now. Henrik Lundqvist has played time since January 11th. It's a long time since that guy's played in a game. He's dressed as backup, but he hasn't played in a game since January 11th. Over 3 weeks, it's going to be if he gets the start at home against Detroit, which the Rangers haven't had a practice, so we don't know yet. I don't think the Rangers practice until Thursday. I'm not sure the exact date of when the players have to return. And let me tell you something. It's great. Maybe it's great to have a three-goalie system right now with all the games that they have. But, man, it could also be detrimental if Lundqvist loses the Detroit game and goes, sits on 9 wins for the season. There's a lot of mind games. There's a lot going on in every aspect of the organization right now. Trades, on ice, in people's heads. I mean, obviously we want to see, how they bounce back and how they respond to it. This is a young team, and this is a team that has some veterans that are on the move. There's a lot going on.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, it really, to me, and I think it's quite obvious, you got to get off to a good start. right off the All-Star break. I mean, you can't lose to Detroit at all. I don't care.
No.
Even if it goes into overtime, you have to get the 2 points in the OT. Get 2 points. That's 4 points on the table right there. This isn't an impossible feat because I've seen a lot better comebacks in different seasons from other teams. I mean, everybody's different. Every roster's different. But all you got to do is just make sure you finish the game strong. And I'm fairly confident. I'm not overly confident, but I'm fairly confident that they could make some moves, and maybe some of these other teams ahead of them could stumble, like maybe Philadelphia. Not necessarily Toronto. I think Toronto may be a little bit more on a mission than you know. I think they're too talented not to fold. But I think Philadelphia, maybe Columbus may take a step back. We'll see. I mean, they got the right head coach and they're playing well. This is the way to see game, because we'll have a lot to discuss over the next Tuesday on that. We'll say what?
Oh, sure. I mean, look at it this way. In the month of February, as of tonight, the Rangers have games of the 13, 15 games they play. The teams that they're playing are playoff teams are Dallas, Toronto, Winnipeg, Minnesota, Columbus, Boston, Carolina, and the Islanders.
That's a
All
lot.
All those teams
I mean,
are playoff teams right now
team.
That the Rangers that the Rangers are going up against. They have three sets, as I said before, of back-to-back games. February 13th and 14th at Minnesota and home in Columbus. February 21st and 22nd is at Carolina and home against San Jose. And then February 27th and 28th is at Montreal and Philadelphia. It's a tough schedule.
There's a lot of those teams we did beat. A lot of teams you did name, we did beat this season. You did, you know, Montreal, San Jose. I mean, we've seen them be beat in their place, so we shall see. Any final thoughts from you, RP? Look forward to getting to a lot of the hockey stuff next week, but any final thoughts?
It's going to be a fun month, but it's going to be a little heartbreaking one way or another, I think. Either we're going to realize that we're not making the playoffs, or you're going to lose a real familiar face, or maybe two. So it's going to be a real bumpy ride, let me tell you.
Yeah, I know. Looking forward to Ranger Proud on his articles, Elite Sports New York, and of course my favorite, absolutely my favorite, the Ranger Proud page, be on it during the game. RP, I might have to invade your page this weekend for the Red Wings, because I think if we don't get it off to a good start for that team, then yeah, I'm done, dog. you might as well. It's a fire sale, man, garage sale. Because there's no way you can make it up without getting points from that team. And I hate to say this, because that used to be a team like, man, you could count on the Red Wings. They are like, man, I never thought I'd see today, RP, that the Red Wings are in the toilet of the NHL. You know? That's not how I grew up watching the NHL. I mean, that's just amazing to me how things could just turn around. They were at the top of their game for a very, very long time, man. Especially in the 90s. I was just, wow. But that's not our problem, not to say that, not to crap on the Red Wings. But the point I'm trying to make is 4 points, no less than 4 points leading Saturday night is my point.
Oof. I got to tell you, it's going to be crazy. It's going to be really hard. Only because they haven't played. I mean, maybe they got a little bit of energy at the Garden on Friday night, and then they'll hop on a plane and play the second half of that back-to-back game in Detroit when they've been laid out for 10 days. The second game of that back, that's why it's so important to win the home game, because going to Detroit is going to be really difficult.
Can you imagine Rangers Twitter
we'll see what
if
happens.
The Rangers took it? Can you imagine Rangers Twitter if they lose Friday night?
Rangers Twitter's been out of control the last couple of weeks, so it wouldn't surprise me at all, let me tell you.
Right.
It'll be fun, though.
All right, man, the Ring Podcast. I know. The Ring Podcast with Ranger Pro will be back next Tuesday. God, man, I hope we pull this out this weekend and then get some points. Sangre also, ladies and gentlemen. Lee Blue.
Can you dig it? Can you dig it? Can you dig it?
bleep blue, 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 bleep blue.